We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's get the latest on the crew from insider Adam McAlvey. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800. This is the only station Brewers fans need. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. We will chat with this guy Mondays throughout the season and spring training as well. He's down in Arizona covering this team like no one else can. Brewers.com, MLB.com. He is Adam McAlvey. Good morning, Adam.
Coach McAlvey.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Hey, Adam. Good to have you join
big
us
day,
here.
Big day today with the Milwaukee Bucks in town.
Are you going tonight?
I'm buzzing. I'm working on it.
Okay.
Working on it.
You know, I'm cheap. I'm a fan, but I'm also very cheap.
Well, we were just reading off the ticket prices earlier in the show. It sounds like you can get in fairly cheap. Better than a Pfizer Forum.
Oh, okay, good. By cheap, I meant I was trying to get in for zero, but
three.
I should aim higher. Yeah.
Well, so, good luck.
I'll aim
your
higher
endeavors.
Than zero, and I'll let you know.
So, I mean, how has that worked in the past? Have the Suns ever hosted the Bucks during the regular season while you've been at spring training? I mean, do you guys get access to those tickets, or how's that go?
Yeah. I mean, if you're a player, you have great access to the tickets.
Yeah.
So it has happened before. I remember seeing the Bucks down here way back, probably when the Suns were really good and the Bucks weren't good. I can't remember it recently, but you know, you try to get over there to a game. The arenas, they've done tons of renovations there too. Not a new arena, but renovations, and it's a fun place downtown. Downtown Phoenix is sneaky fun now. It used to be nothing but the basketball arena and Marley's and Alice Cooper's Town. And like a Hard Rock Cafe, and that was about it. And now there's all kinds of stuff going on down here.
All right, now with the Brewers. Bobby Wall's injury, it sounds like the ACL. Was he going to be a legitimate arm coming out of the bullpen? Do you have a legitimate shot? Counsel, when I heard him talking about the injury to this guy, it sounded like he said, well, this is just a chip that we're going to lose here. I mean, what's the truth on that?
No, I mean, I think the truth is that it's an example of the way you got to look at the team now, which is not the opening day roster, but who's going to play during the season. And they made clear that Bobby Wall was a guy who's going to pitch for them during the season. I don't know that he would have made the opening day roster because he's one of the players with options that they could have sent down and stockpiled for depth. And that's why they were talking about him as, a chip out of their depth, but he was going to be part of that group. And think about last season, how valuable the group of pitchers was that went back and forth. And whether that was for covering an injury or a time where you needed to rest some of your main guys, where your bullpen is a little taxed, and you bring in Jorge Lopez or Adrian Hauser or Brandon Woodruff or Corbin Burns was a guy. They brought up a lot of players from the minor leagues last season, and that was a big part of the story of their pitching staff and their bullpen in particular being successful. And Bobby Wall was going to be one of those guys. We talked to Mauricio Dubon, who is an interesting person yesterday, because he obviously just went through the ACL comeback and was talking to Bobby Wall about what to expect and kind of what's ahead and the mental challenges and all that. And Dubon happened to be one of the hitters who stepped in against Bobby Wall in live BP and was talking about just how good the stuff is. The comp in camp is Corey Knebel because it's a power fastball and a really good curveball. So look, Corey Knebel was an all-star, but that's like the kind of pitcher that they think Bobby Wall could be. And it's disappointing that he has another year that he's going to lose to injury because he's had some injuries now the last couple of years.
Talking with Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com, MLB.com. Want to play this from Council the other day was talking if we might see Josh Hader in a starter role.
It's not impossible. I don't see it. I don't see it this year. As far as like traditional starter, something different. But maybe I could see something different. Maybe because that's one way you could think about trying to, if I talk about the game sequencing, about talking about amping up the innings, is doing them on some kind of different schedule with scheduled rest at the start of games, but pitching less than a starter.
There was a day last week, I think it was, where you guys, you know, in the little scrum before the game, I thought I had a really good conversation with him about the bullpen and how what they did at the end of last season could carry over to this year. And it sounds like, you know, a lot of it's going to be the same. Knebel in the ninth, if that's the role he settles into. Jeffers, you have Hader. What I got from that particular soundbite was they could also try that strategy of pitching Hader for a couple innings in the beginning, or maybe they do that with Jeffers. Are we going to see a different kind of bullpen strategy now than we did in the playoffs, or is it seemingly going to evolve from what it was in September?
No, I think that this has come up a couple of times this spring, because that the sound you just played happened to be a day that a couple of our five national writers came in. Tyler Kepner from the New York Times was in, and Bob Nightingale was in. And then the Bryce Harper news broke that day, so whatever they were working on, Kepner in particular was really working on I think it's going to be a cool story about the pitching. It probably got, I don't know if it came out and I missed it amid the Bryce, but I think it got sort of put on hold because of Bryce. Anyway, Council a couple of times this year has said that, because people have come in and asked, you know, do you feel like you kind of changed the way people look at pitching by the way your team handled the postseason last year? And Council has basically said no, that was the strategy that they employed last year was specific to where their club was at personnel-wise, what they had, what they were missing in the rotation at that time, and what they had in the bullpen at that time, what they had in terms of the off days in September, where, remember, they had every Thursday off, and then in the postseason you have all those travel days, you have the baked-in off days, and what they had in terms of personnel, in particular in September, where you have the expanded roster and you have basically unlimited pitchers from which to choose, including some pretty good options of your call-ups. I mean, think about some of the guys that were call-ups that helped. Junior Guerra might not have specifically been a September call-up, but think, you know, he delivered some innings in September that helped spread the load around a little bit. So basically, Council's point has been the way that things unfolded, in particular in the postseason, was like specific to the circumstances of the time. And to think that you can do that over the course of 6 months of a regular season is not realistic. So they are going to look a lot more traditional than they did late last year, and they're not going to like try to change the game and the way teams do it in the regular season. And I don't believe they're going to employ like an opener strategy either. I think they're going to try to get innings from their starting pitchers, because that's the best way to get 27 outs, is to get as many outs as you can from the first guy. Now, I still think he'll liberally use that bullpen, because it's a good bullpen, and they have guys that aren't a lot of, you know, Alex Claudio, for example, comes in. He's not a one-batter lefty. He's going to be a full-inning, potentially multi-inning guy. They have players that can handle at least three outs, three-plus. So they're going to make use of that, I think, during the regular season as rest allows. So I think the main takeaway from that, and I agree that was a good day. We had a good discussion that day. I think the main takeaway is it's going to look a lot more traditional during the course of the regular season than it did in the postseason. Don't expect them to do all kinds of the, you know, sort of like out of the box things that they did in October. And just not to ramble forever, but on Josh Hader, I don't think they're going to make Josh Hader an opener. You know, he was sort of what he was saying there is that the question was, are you going to convert Josh Hader back to a starting pitcher, which is still a question that comes up, despite all the success he had in a relief role, in pitching a lot of innings in a relief role last year. And I think the answer, when you heard Council say that, is actually, it's no, meaning they're not going to turn him back into a starter the way we all traditionally think of starters. If they ever did pitch him in the front of games, it would be some kind of hybrid thing where he goes his three innings, and maybe instead of every fifth day, he does it every third day or fourth day. However often you could get those innings out of him, that's another way to use Josh Hader if you wanted to. The problem with that is now you don't get to choose which innings you pitch him in, which games you pitch him in, you know, at what point of the games. You can't pick the most important points of the game to pitch him if you pitch him at the start of a game. So that is not a very attractive proposal to them, and it's why it just, even though he said maybe, I'm telling you, it ain't happening. Josh Hader is a reliever. He's a weapon in the way they used him last year, and that's the way they're going to continue to use him.
Jeremy Jeffress had a terrific regular season, struggled in the offseason, struggled in the postseason, downplayed it many times. I remember all of us going after it, downplayed it, and, you know, he was pretty good about it. I mean, he wasn't, you know, crying in his beer. How does he feel? Have you talked to him at all? I mean, was it do you think he got tired? Has he talked again about what went wrong in the postseason for him last year? And I just don't want to carry over to this year.
Well, look, he says he's looked at it and looked for something that went terribly wrong. And he doesn't feel like there was anything that, in terms of, you know, some misspots, really. It was, he just picked a bad time to have his funk that relievers go through just like a hitter goes through. And it happened at a bad time for the Brewers. But I think from my understanding is that he spent time examining that with the coaches over the winter, and they didn't find anything that necessitated like a big change, sure, like a big fix. So I think he's going to go into the season with the mindset of let's just do the work that you did last year and, you know, see the results. And the results last year were overwhelmingly good. Again, he just kind of went into that bad, he missed some spots at the worst possible time. I will say, though, he's not, right now he's down with a sore shoulder, so Hader and Knebel got into the game yesterday for the first time, and Jeffress is still working towards that. So he's not shut down, Council said. He's playing catch, but he's not pitching in a game yet because they're being cautious with a little bit of shoulder soreness. So right now they're hoping that's just like the, you know, halfway through camp sort of soreness that guys go through, and nothing more than that. But it's something that will keep an eye on in the next couple of days.
Is Jeffress going to be the ninth inning guy, or is that open for Knebel to win it back? How does that look at?
Yeah, I think it's you know, they're talking about it being open. They're talking about reading the game, reading performances of guys. If I were like a fantasy baseball player and I were trying to target a guy if I wanted saves, I would go for Knebel because he was going to be that guy going into last season. And remember how effective Jeremy Jeffress was? Council called him at times his sixth inning closer. They would get in a really tight spot in the middle of the game, and they would bring in Jeffress, and he would offer these, you know, kind of magically unexpected escapes from situations where it looked like he was sure to at least allow a run. You know, if you can use him in that role again and use Knebel in the back end, that could be pretty valuable. And I'm guessing that's the way it ends up. But they're going to let performance dictate that too. You know, a lot of times a manager will say it's closer by committee, and then a week later somebody has just kind of stepped up with the way they're pitching at that particular point in time, and boom, here's your closer. So again, if I'm a fantasy baseball guy and I'm looking for saves, I would roll the dice with Knebel.
All right, my dream rotation is Yoelis Chacin, and then the three young guys, Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns, and then Dallas Keuchel. So we're still waiting on that. But the three young guys, it seems to me like Council's been very, I've heard him say this a lot. Look, the opening day roster is not the roster. We need all these guys. So don't get hung up on who the five guys are. And it seems to me like he wants to give Chase Anderson and Zach Davies, and he's talked a lot about Josh Tomlin, who got hit hard the other day. I think he wants to give those guys a crack before he settles into Woodruff and Peralta and then Burns. And so is my read on that right? The other thing that I want to ask you about here in the same question is Jimmy Nelson, because it seems to me like Jimmy Nelson thinks one thing and the organization thinks another. Like the organization thinks, yeah, we'll give this guy time. We want him to be right. And Jimmy, every time you guys talk to him, is like, I'm okay now, guys. Put me in. I can start on opening day. It seems he's a little, I don't want to say delusional, but I just did.
Well, Jimmy's not delusional, but he certainly is an intense individual, and I think his intensity in the task ahead of him is his greatest gift as he's going through rehab, and also, you know, a huge impediment to the patience that's required to getting it done, and they have to hold him back at many times. Jimmy's got a big day today. It's an off day for the team, but he's going to be on the mound at 9:30. He's going to throw like a bullpen and then get in against some hitters for the first time. And that's the final test before a guy gets in a game. I think they'll probably do two of those with him. They'll be a little slower with him. But you know, a game for him is possible by end of the week, next week. if it goes well again after that little setback with the forearm. So he's got a big day and a big week ahead, and I think, you know, they'll know more in, say, 10 days from now about where Jimmy Nelson is in their plans than they do right now. So that's a big thing to keep an eye on, I think, over the next week to 10 days. As for the rest of the rotation, I mean, I think your read is right that Anderson and Davies, going into last season, got the opening day assignment and the home opener assignment. They were, you know, as they were kind of thought of as two of the main guys at the top of that rotation based on what they had done and based on the club's evaluation of their ability. And to just give up on that after the seasons that they had last year is, I don't think, very wise when you know that you don't need five starters to get through a season. You need, you know, 8, 9, 10. Last year they used 11, I think, but Dan Jennings was one of them. You're going to need way more than the five guys. So how do you, you know, what's the best alignment at the start of the season to set yourself up to have all of those pitchers that you're going to need to get through all of those innings? And I think that's why it's possible that they use the options on Woodruff, Burns, Peralta, or, you know, they're also pitching in the bullpen a little bit is an opportunity to use their, you know, use their ability some, but also preserve the depth that you need. And I don't know exactly what the exact combination is going to be. I'm going to project this again this week. So I'll sit down and, you know, I'll have something in the middle of the week. But I think right now, like, if I had to guess, I say Anderson and Davies are in the five-man rotation to begin the season, and you see what you've got in them. I think Woodruff is in. I think Chacin is obviously in. I think maybe Nelson is a DL guy to start the year and give him just time, as you said. I think the club wants to be really patient. That would be a really – I'm glad I don't have to be in the room for that conversation because it would be a tough one. And then that opens up for a Burns or Peralta. But one of those three, Burns, Peralta, Woodruff, I think on my little projection are going to end up being the opening day starter at San Antonio. But with the idea that they are definitely going to pitch for the Brewers during the course of the season.
Adam, it's called the IL now and not the DL.
The IL, I keep messing just that up.
So yeah, you know that. Yeah. Adam McKelvey, Brewers.com. Hey, have fun at the Bucks game tonight if you go.
Thank you, guys. I will give you a full report.
Please do. Adam McKelvey, yeah. Great Midwest who Bank
needs,
hotline.
Who needs, who's your Bucks guy? Eric Name?
Yeah. Namesy. He's out there with you.
Yeah, he's out there. Velasquez,
well, yeah,
he's out there.
For coming to say, yeah, tell him thanks for coming to say hi yesterday.
He was probably golfing or something.
No, Name was drinking.
He was drinking?
Yeah.
Name's like the tip of you, I see.
Name's likes beer.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
That's
not going to blame a guy for that, but he could come and say, you know, maybe it's just like a hello to everybody, but whatever. He's off for the Christmas card list.
We'll talk to you later, Adam.
See you later.
See ya.
Adam McKelvey, Great Midwest Bank Hotline. I mean, I had four last night. I ain't judging, so.
On Twitter, when you go a little crazy, is it because you have a little bit in you?
I was drunk on Saturday, tweeting at the fans.
So I think I can kind of tell sometimes.
Yeah, well, you tweet like you're always hammered.
No, I don't.
The spelling's wrong. Well, the grammar's butchered.
Oh, grammar? Look who's talking.
My grammar's always right.
Really?
Maybe not out of my mouth, but on Twitter.
Not always.
Oh,
no.
Go find one. Go find one.
I mean, I can put something. I can see something in a rundown you had today where your grammar wasn't great.
Well, that is something, one, that we shouldn't ever talk about on the air. And then two.
Why should we talk about it? You told me to find flaws in you on Twitter. What's the difference?
Why do we talk about the show rundown on the air? Oh, I saw in the rundown. Who gives a crap?
Well, who cares about my grammar is wrong on Twitter?
That's way different.
People punctuate wrong. You got 140 carrots, the characters to use. You got trying to squeeze it all in.
What I'm telling
most
you,
of the time, I'm, you know, like at a stop sign trying to figure this out. I got a kid, a 7-year-old, screaming it in the back seat of the car. I got Shannon to the right of me
so
complaining about something. So I am. I'm doing five things at one time. So if I have a spelling mistake, big deal.
Blackout hammered.
Who cares?
Wandering down the street, walking in the middle of the road. But one of my superpowers is that I always, when texting or tweeting, I always get the grammar right, no matter how messed up I am. So you find one where I'm confused.
I will find something. I'll find something here.
And the rundown doesn't count because that is the notes of our show. It doesn't count. That's dumb.
When you list the topic to talk about, the way you phrase it sometimes, I was like, yeah, I hope he rephrases it on the air.
This is so stupid. This is the worst part of our show's history. And that's saying something.
Oh, now you're being way dramatic.
No, this is really bad. No. This is bad.
Somebody, hey, I, you know, I'm just checking. You retweeted something. Chuck has completely given up on life, somebody put.
Yeah, I retweeted that.
Now, what is that in response to?
We have to take a break, which is another thing that we should never say. But we got to take one so bad that I'm stressing out.
Oh, man.
Chuck and Winkler.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.